It is indeed the top of the 5 o'clock hour. Guillermo Mash on behalf of the Without a Roof radio program. And you are indeed listening to 90.1 FM, KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. Also, be aware that opinions voiced on this program do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, underwriters, or volunteers.
Give me 2 eggs. So, tomorrow I got nothing.
I really believe that everybody should be born poor 1 week of their life. 1 week.
As you see, I'm in a wheelchair. I was hit by a train 10 years ago. And a year ago, I was hit by a truck.
There's a feeling in the pit of your stomach the first several nights that you're out there when you realize you actually are in a place where you got nowhere to go.
How do you like being at the shelter?
Kind of good. And I like it when we had our own bed, different. And when we get our new house, I'll be so happy when I have my own.
This may surprise a lot of people, but in the last school year, all of our schools here in Butte County, there's 14 different school districts, identified about 900 students, children and youth who were in homeless situations during the course of the school year.
Welcome to the Without a Roof program, where we expose and remedy poverty, the worst form of violence. All right, Guillermo Mash here for the Without a Roof radio program. We air 5 to 5:30 every Wednesday right here on KZFR 90.1 FM. You want to follow us throughout the week? You can find us on Facebook, Without a Roof. You can find us on our homepage, WOAROOF.TUMBLR.com. And we can also be found on YouTube channel, where we're quite well recognized for the vignettes that we have produced around poverty, the worst form of violence, over the past 5 years. Good show today, as I expect all our shows are good shows. We have two main interviews. We have Keith McKendry, co-founder of Food Not Bombs, an international organization that feeds and loves and cares on hungry people around the world. We also wrap up the Homeward Streeter Journal. We had a whole edition on the Homeward Street Journal, which has come to Chico. It's a 20-year-old street newspaper, and it has our own page called the Chico Vibe. Didn't have time to fit in Coral Fagan's piece on honoring the dignity of transgender prisoners, which was part of the March-April Homeward Street Journal, which I have right here in my hands. For the March 24th Without a Roof radio program, I have on the phone from Taos, New Mexico, co-founder of Food Not Bombs, Keith McHenry. Welcome to KZFR, Keith McHenry.
Yes, thank you. And actually, currently, I'm in Santa Cruz, California, where things are really heating up with anti-homeless efforts.
Why don't you fill us in? I mean, I'm looking right now on your page, Keith, about take down the fences between one another and that beautiful memorial for Michael Mears, June 21st, 63 to February 17th, 2017, died on the streets, man. Fill us in. What's going on, Keith?
Okay, well, it's been interesting. There became a campaign. We started getting calls in December and January that from police department and from the health department, and we realized that there was this stepped-up campaign to stop Food Not Bombs from sharing food outside the post office in downtown Santa Cruz. And there's this kind of loose-knit group of people that are associated with a neo-fascist organization called Take Back Santa Cruz, and then another group called the Levelees, which is associated with them, and they pick up trash along the levee. And they have been trying to get rid of Food Not Bombs, and which we have known about for a number of years because we do Public Record Act requests. And they're very frustrated that we don't actually leave garbage around, according to many of their posts, to city council, which is how we got this information. And then we met with Lieutenant Warren Berry, who's in charge of the area where Food Not Bombs shares food downtown. And he showed us Janet Fardette's emails. She's a levelee, but the names were redacted, but we already had copies of them, so we knew exactly what was going on. So this is become aware of this issue that they're really trying to get rid of us, and they claim that what we need to do is to move indoors. And this has been a common issue with Food Not Bombs even as far back as 1988 when we first were arrested in San Francisco, where the idea was the police had proposed that we take city buses that would be donated, take the homeless to armory out at the ocean, feed them inside where no one would see what was going on, and then bring them back, because it's the crisis from the authorities' point of view. It's seen so many people needing food, and yet here we are just doing it for free, and we're private citizens, and we're trying to make a statement that the society could be different, and it's really a horrible embarrassment to them.
It's not only just the horrible embarrassment of someone that's been involved with Food Not Bombs, Keith, and you know that, and actually helping people at their point of need. It's a huge, huge uplifting moment for them when you're in their space, in their park, talking with them, helping them, giving them food. It's a huge, huge deal for them psychologically and for well-being just to know that someone cares enough that they're going to meet them in their space. What would you add to that, Keith? Listeners just joining, we are the Without a Roof Radio program, and we are interviewing Keith McHenry, co-founder of Food Not Bombs, an international organization that provides food, love, and care for folks that are hungry around the world. Back to Keith.
Oh, I think it's exactly right. And one of the things that we discovered on the very first meal in March of 81 is that by having the non-homeless people and, you know, business people and just random people hanging out with people living on the streets all eating together, it creates this humanizing effect. It just becomes a beautiful festival and something that's a celebration. And we saw that immediately, where there was like some, you know, really well-dressed business people hanging out with people from the Pine Street Inn talking to one another. You know, this doesn't sadly happen. There seems to be a, you know, a real intentional and very strong effort to separate the people that are without shelter from the people with shelter.
You said Pine Street Inn. Have we shifted to Boston, or is there a Pine Street Inn in Santa Cruz?
No. This is the first meal in Boston in 1981. So today, now in Santa Cruz, it's even more important to be doing that. And in this, you know, timeline of these people trying to get rid of Food Not Bombs, we ended up meeting with them to try to work things out and explain why we're in the public and why we're at the post office and all the different benefits that has, and to point out, as they do even in their emails to the city officials, that we continue to clean up the area, and we've been told that the area is cleaner after we share food there than it is any other time, because we're organized and we do that.
Yeah, you do that, because I've been involved with three different Food Not Bombs in Arcata and in Chico and in Sacramento, and I can say, as someone that's witnessed, they clean up. Not only do they clean up their own stuff, people pick up stuff in the area. I mean, it's just I guess nothing burns my ass more than people jumping on people that are helping people, you know, giving them food, Keith. I know you're in the same spot on that.
Oh, yeah, and it's just outrageous. So then, a couple of days after we met with these people, and with the police, and had correspondence, email correspondence with the health department, there's becomes a petition on change.org to get rid of Food Not Bombs from in front of the post office. So my partner Abby and I, we made another petition supporting the right to be in front of the post office. And that started to really take off. It wasn't long before we had over 1,000 signatures, and Janet and her people got, you know, less than 100. I mean, they're over 100 now, almost 150, but we're 1,250. So that kept going on. And then one day, one of the people that eats with us texts me that they're building a fence around the downtown post office. So because it rains so much here, and particularly this time of year, many people sleep underneath the overhang at the downtown post office.
They do in Chico as well. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's a beautiful building. It was built in 1912, so withstood their 89 earthquake. So I go down there, and they're putting up a permanent chain link fence around the areas where homeless people hang out, including along the little ledge where everyone sits when they come to Food Not Bombs. And so they have now made the whole thing so ugly. And what is incredible, there's been a lot of complaints. People come to eat with Food Not Bombs and they don't have shoes. And I asked them, why don't you have shoes? Well, somebody stole them while I was sleeping. You know, the police have been, and the rangers have been going around confiscating people's belongings. And Abby actually has this amazing video of the police coming in to the area in front of City Hall and confiscating people's blankets while they're going to the bathroom. And people are like protesting it, and they want their stuff back, and they won't give it back. They gave some back, but not most of it, because, you know, Abby's videotaping it and stuff. And they even took the garbage bag of garbage garbage and the brooms that the people living in front of City Hall were using to clean up City Hall. You know, it's a really, really statistic. That kind of stuff is happening all the time. But this fence is basically a blatant dehumanizing our community, our homeless people, and that they're lesser than. They are the other. You know, here you have the wall going between the U.S. and Mexico. You have all the Muslim ban. You have all these things going on. So we've actually had put out a poster that first they come for the homeless. And that, it couldn't be more true.
You know what upsets me is we've had homeless consultants come through town. Robert Marbert's coming back through town this week. But it's clear you don't even have to be a homeless, quote-unquote, expert traveling the country to know there's not nearly enough services for people experiencing homelessness or some of the commingling issues of addiction and mental illness. What people do at Food Not Bombs and just being in the space, they are literally volunteer mental health workers and social workers. So for anyone to be coming at an organization like Food Not Bombs saying that you're not doing a public service, I'll say it again, it burns my ass.
Absolutely. Well, you know, a classic case of being mental health people, we have a friend, Tony, who was really intense and freaked people out. And he even threatened to kill me when I moved some of his belongings together. He was gone. He was away from the area. And it was like an empty cigarette box, you know, a couple of wrappers and an empty orange juice container. And I just put them together so it looked less like garbage and more, and this is right at where we share food, right after we are being accused of trashing the area. And oddly enough, the people that are accusing us had taken photos of this household garbage that's been dumped at our place. I went through it and it had like Drano cans and stuff like that. Obviously wasn't ours and it wasn't the people living on the streets. And but anyway, he like threatened to kill me. He was like really crazy and all that, really intense. And I like, Tony, chill out. Now Tony is very mellow, but he is probably the one that was so loud and intense that the postal worker is like, oh, yeah, because Tony lives in front of the post office and he's really loud and therefore we have to build this fence and spend thousands of dollars on that. And all you have to do is really talk to him. All you have to do is be treated with respect. He's a former construct, he owned a contracting business and he lost it in 95 and then he finally got back on off the streets again in 2000 and then lost his business again, and he's just a regular worker that now lives on the streets and is surviving by his wits. But you just have to talk to people and get to know them.
It's one of the most beautiful things you can do. I mean hundreds and hundreds of experiences I've had and it goes both ways. I've had such a beautiful experience in sharing food and just sharing space with people that have less than I, and I don't have much to begin with, Keith McHenry. So listeners just joining, we are the Without a Roof Radio program and we are interviewing Keith McHenry, co-founder of Food Not Bombs, an international organization that provides food, love and care for folks that are hungry around the world. Back to Keith. Let's just wrap up on this event, because I think you have an action going on this weekend, right? Around us all, take down the fences between one another in Santa Cruz. Maybe you can tell our listeners a little bit about that.
Yeah, we do. We have what we've been doing is decorating. It's called the Anti-Homeless Decorating Parties. And so people bring clothing and toys and signs and all kinds of things, and we put it all over the fence. And people then come that need coats and blankets and so on will come by and get their, things that they need off the fence. And it's been a huge celebration. One of the things that's clearly going on now is the amount of people eating with us. And I don't think it's just because we're making the newspaper or the food's getting even better or something. It's the people need the food. So we have had over 100 people on the 5th of March. In the beginning of the month, anybody knows about this kind of stuff, people have checks still. And to have over 100 people come on the 5th of March is astounding. And we have like over 120 people yesterday eat with us. And it's over 100 people every single time now, basically. I mean, every once in a while, I'm like 89 or something. But that's really tragic. And the homeless crisis is growing. One thing, you have Robert Marbut coming to Chico. He has a long history with Food Not Bombs, or fairly long. He was the spokesperson hired by the city of Fort Lauderdale to justify ending the outdoor meals, or what he calls street feeds. And recently, in this campaign against Food Not Bombs here in Santa Cruz, one of the women that put up the petition and has been campaigning to get rid of us forwarded to probably about 30 city officials and media people a link to an interview he did on NPR explaining why you're enabling the homeless if you continue to feed people outside. And she was using that, encouraging the city officials to hire Robert. I know in St. Petersburg he was hired at $5,300 a month to justify driving the street meals off the streets of St. Petersburg, Florida. I don't know what he was paid in Fort Lauderdale, but probably a similar fee. And in the last 6 months, there's become a thing called Street Feeding Consortium in Phoenix, which is using the same language as Robert Marbutt to get rid of the outdoor meals in Phoenix. And his program, which he founded originally in San Antonio, he was able to raise money, $100 million, to build a campus for the homeless. But in the last couple of years, there's been huge problems where homeless encampments not even that far from his shelter have been getting raided by the police and their belongings discarded. And a church group that was feeding people in San Antonio was arrested in the last 12 months. And yet these things are indications that the program that Robert is promoting don't actually work, because here it is, his shelter is in financial chaos, and they're maybe closing a lot of it in San Antonio, and still you've got hundreds of homeless people living along the rivers and so on, and you have people being busted for feeding the hungry outside because it's clear that people can't get into the shelter. And that's what's happening here in Santa Cruz. If they adopt Robert Marbutt's ideas here, you know, which they well could, because we have a very far right wing city council, you're going to find out that, for instance, one of the reasons we have the Freedom Sleepers every Tuesday night, and this will be the 89th one this
Tuesday. Bless the Freedom Sleepers.
Yeah, that because the emergency shelter was shut down, and the services in Santa Cruz have been you know, slowly eliminated. There's a lot of money for bureaucracy, but there's no money for actually helping people on the streets. And so, you know, just as a classic example here in Santa Cruz, many people that eat with Food Not Bombs Saturday and Sunday, 4 o'clock at the downtown post office, which is where we're doing the anti-homeless fence decorating parties, also eat at St. Francis a few blocks away. And they're not getting services. And in fact, sadly, Michael Mayers died of hypothermia only a block away from St. Francis on the 17th of February. This very brilliant local person who's been living on the streets here for years. And his body temperature, according to medical staff, was at 70 degrees when found laying unconscious and unresponsive on Potrero. And like I say, that's only like roughly a block away from St. Francis. And there just is not access to, you know, facilities. We've tried to get people in the drug rehab that want it really badly, and they can't. It's too expensive. The waiting lists are too long, or they have to go to another city. What Robert is saying, and Marbutt in part, it's true, it'd be great to have more services, but the reality is those services don't exist. And the other reality is that the entire economy, you know, there is a lot of talk of the new policies of the Trump administration could lead to a huge economic displacement. You know, the Washington Post recently has been publishing this study that was done in 2014 showing that there are 2,500,000 homeless children in America. It's probably much worse now. And if that's just the number of children that were homeless in 2013, imagine the numbers of adults that are homeless. It's a...
Yeah, you know,
the proportion of Great Depression, really.
You bring us back to the close, but I have to say the reason I know Pine Street Inns in Boston is I was a runaway at 16 and used their services before the term homeless was even a word, right? Back in 76, yeah. There was no such thing as homeless. You were you're a physical runaway. Maybe we could wrap. I did this at the Peace and Justice Center 5 years ago, but I just said, hey, Keith McHenry, give us 60 seconds on what our listeners can do to help turn this thing around and to help folks that need not just a hand up, but just some love and some guidance where they're at.
Well, I really encourage people to either start or get involved with a local Food Not Bombs group. And from that, you can spin off all kinds of amazing projects. So I really hope people can do that. You can learn more at foodnotbombs.net. And if you go to the volunteer link, it'll show you how to volunteer with your local group or how to start your own Food Not Bombs chapter.
Thanks a lot, Keith McHenry. It's always a joy.
Thank you so much for what you're doing. Beautiful.
Without a Roof radio program is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters, listeners, and by the Chico News and Review, providing Northern California with news, commentary, and entertainment. The Chico News and Review is available for free every Thursday at Townies. It can also be found online at newsreview.com. All right, folks that are listening to the Without a Roof radio program on the 17th were treated to the Homeward Street Journal edition. And that's all about a wonderful street newspaper in Sacramento, Homeward Street Journal, celebrating 20 years of bringing news and information about poverty, the worst form of violence. We have made an arrangement with them. We're going to have that paper come up here every other month. They print every other month. We have the March-April edition, so I'm sitting here and holding it in my hands. And we're going to have our own page called The Chico Vibe. So this next piece was one that I just couldn't squeeze into 30 minutes. And here we go with Coral Fagan out of Western Regional Advocacy Project here on People Power Radio. Guillermo Mash here, and we're covering the Homeward Street Journal edition March and April. And we've got the North California state legislation honors the dignity of transgender prisoners. And I am one of the co-authors of this piece, Coral Fagan, who works for Western Regional Advocacy Project, and he's going to give us some insights on this wonderful piece that was in the paper. So welcome to KZFR, Coral.
So my name is Coral, and I'm the organizer with the Western Regional Advocacy Project, and we're working on this bill, which is SB 310, or the Name and Dignity Act for Incarcerated Trans People. And this bill is authored by Senator Atkins this year. And we also just got word it's going to be co-authored by Senator Wiener and Senator Eggman. And so what SB 310 does is it changes the process for trans people who are in prison who are trying to access a legal name and gender marker change. And when I say gender marker, I'm talking about the letter that's on your identification document, so either an M or an S. And so what currently happens for trans people who are in prison who are trying to change their name and gender is that they need to submit a request to the warden. And what happens is that they're either flat out denied or they're just put into so many circles of bureaucratic circles that they give up on the process. There are only 3 people in the whole state of California that have ever successfully change their name and gender while incarcerated, and 2 of those people were because of a lawsuit. So there's only 1 person who's actually successfully gone through the process, and everyone else has been denied. What SB 310 does is it changes the process to be more similar to the process that trans people go through on the outside. And so what that means is that it goes through the superior court system. So a trans person who is incarcerated could just petition to the superior court to change their name and gender without having to involve the warden. And there would likely be some amount of notice that's given to the prison system that someone is changing their name, but otherwise it would be up to the court's discretion about whether or not someone would be approved for a name and gender marker change.
Gosh, that seems so logical, Coral. I don't even understand that's why that's not the current process, that even though you're incarcerated, you're applying for a social service, my term, you should go through whatever that process is and not have to go through a prison process for something like a name change. Is there some dynamic to this name change that I'm missing?
I think it's a few different things. So one thing is that trans people, for the most part, so trans women are mostly held in men's prisons, and trans men are mostly held in women's prisons. There's a few exceptions to that. And trans people in prison face all kinds of types of violence, including physical and emotional and sexual violence. pretty much on the daily. Most trans people are held in protected custody, which is the same part of the prison that is used for people who are locked up on sexual crimes or were snitches, or sometimes are held in solitary confinement or ADSEG or other ways of blocking people out of contact with other people. And the best case scenario is that someone would have a single cell, but that's pretty rare. So all of those conditions are kind of just commonplace for trans people in prison. And so what we're seeing from working with folks in prison is that it seems like denying people to have a name and gender marker change is just kind of another aspect of that punishment and another aspect of that violence. And the other piece is that there is some amount of fear from CDCR that they would have to train their guards to actually appropriately address trans people, because if someone legally changes their name, then you can't just call them by whatever name that you want. You have to call them by the name that is legally their name. So that would require guards to actually address trans people for who they are, which is something that they don't really want to do because the system doesn't even really acknowledge that trans people are held inside of their facilities.
Sounds a little bit maybe a control issue too. I mean, the prison environment a lot of times is given the stereotype of being, you know, we're in charge, we're going to tell you what to do. Is there any dynamic around that? Or
yeah, absolutely. I think it definitely is an aspect of the control over people's bodies that the prison system thrives off of. And it's also just a way to dehumanize people. As it currently is, if you're locked up and your name is something that's very different from your gender presentation, it's just a way to harm people, to call them by a different gender and a different name, you know?
Yeah. So where are we at in the process, man? Maybe we'll wrap this up and kind of say SB 10, State Bill 310. Where are you at in the process as far as how far along is it, hearing-wise and stuff?
So it's been introduced, and the first hearing is in the Public Safety Committee on the Senate side, and that is on March 28th. And then we're also going to be heard in the Judiciary Committee on the Senate side in late April.
Now, are these open to the public? Are you going to have, like, rallies and stuff that we might want to promote to try to get some folks down there, or what's the scope of that?
Yeah, they're definitely open to the public. For these hearings, it's just someone can give a Me Too. So it just means that you come up and you say your name and the organization you work for and whether or not you're opposing or supporting the bill. So that's definitely an option for people who want to support the bill while it's in its hearing. I don't think we have any rallies planned yet, but we're also still trying to do some of the logistics, figuring out the logistics for it, so you can stay tuned for more updates.
I shall, Coral, and give all my friends there in the office my best, and thank you so much for being on Without a Radio program.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, huge shout out, Coral Fagan, advocate, activist out of Western Regional Advocacy Project San Francisco, for that wonderful interview on pending legislation SB 310. Honors the dignity of transgender prisoners. While we're on the topic of transgender, LGBTQ, I did want to do a plug for Stonewall Alliance here in Chico. But Thursday, March 30th, 2017 in the evening, Friday, March 31st, 2017, all day is Trans GNC Week 2017 professional training. Thursday evening is an introduction to caring for transgender and gender nonconforming GNC people. Friday is a specific breakout session. These sessions are for medical providers, mental health providers, caregivers, allied healthcare, educators, and other professionals and staff working with the transgender and gender nonconforming populations. Speakers include a bunch of people. You can learn more about Trans GNC Week at transgncweek.com. Guillermo Mash here, host of the Without a Roof radio program, which kicks off a trifecta of KZFR Wednesday public affairs programming airing from 5 to 5:30.
Each week we explore poverty, the worst form of violence, focusing on human beings without a roof. Thanks for listening, and if you have a roof, be grateful. Non-Human Radio, hosted by Jeannie Fazzino, talks all things animal rights, bringing you the latest news and interviews with local activists.
plus book, film, and restaurant reviews and deep discussions of the benefits of veganism.
For humans and non-humans alike, Wednesdays from 5:30 till 6 p.m. The Real Issue, hosted by Sue Hildebrand, digs into topics ranging from elections to environmental protection.
From social justice to economic justice, from the local to the global.
We cover the political part of everything. Wednesdays from 6 to 7 p.m.
Thanks for listening to...